Hello?
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Cup in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa News of PapaNews.com in Santa Barbara, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, bringing us today's topic, Hoodoo and Emergency Trauma. Afterwards, we'll be taking your calls and offering advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum, at forum.luckymojo.com, and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Ms. Kat and Contraman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, Papa Newt. So nice to hear your beautiful, suave tone.
Hello, such a
lovely voice. How are things out in the Midwest?
Hot and humid. I was gone, missed most of it since I've been in Montreal, which was very beautiful.
Oh, that's right. But, you took a trip, yeah.
Yes, I did. But it's hot and humid here, and I am now back. I've been so busy since I've been back from my trip, getting orders out and helping clients. It's been nonstop since I've been back since Tuesday.
Well, I'm glad you had a nice time. I've been to Montreal, too. It's a lovely, beautiful town, a lot of beautiful old-fashioned architecture.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great place. Also, Montreal is the home of our own fabulous Aura, Miss Aura LaForest, who is a root worker and the author of Hoodoo Spiritual Baths. And if you all don't know about her, she's a fabulous little French-Canadian gal, and she's an herbologist supreme. So Montreal has some good points. All righty. Well, I'm glad you're doing well back in the Midwest. I do not miss the humidity. I used to live there. It can be quite jungly out there with that humidity.
Oh, yeah. Being landlocked, it's not fun.
Yeah. Now, we're out here in California still suffering from the drought. It just keeps on going. We had a bizarre little rain a while back, with just like rain for like 20 minutes and just enough to get everything damp and then go away. We don't usually get rain in the summer at all, and it's back to summer. So it's a very, very bad drought out here. And we've been working hard on getting people's packages out. I want to give a special shout out to Miss Pamita and Miss Pamita's Parlor of Wonders. There's a lady who has gone into Lucky Mojo oils and sachet powders and incense powders in a big way. And I think I've spent 2 days straight working on one of Miss Pamita's giant wholesale orders. So, if y'all are down in the Los Angeles area, check out Miss Pamita's Parlor of Wonders. And right now I believe that that Jenna, who's an employee of the shop, Jenna has learned how to make oils, and Jenna is finishing the last finishing oils for Miss Pamita. If she catches this broadcast, she'll know we're hard at work. Not much else to report here. I've been gone a couple of weeks. I want to thank everybody for filling in for me. Everybody's always very kind.
You're welcome back.
Yeah, other things to do, and I appreciate that. So, Contraman Ali, how are things in your neck of the woods? Still droughty down there, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, very much so. Droughty. But we're very happy to have you back. We certainly missed you on the show. I've always said the show isn't the show without you. So we're definitely glad to have you back. On my end, just been keeping busy as I usually do, enjoying the fact that summer is about to end. Weather-wise, I'm looking forward to autumn. I dress warm normally as it is, so I look forward to that. But these are the last few weeks before formal academic work starts again, teaching classes and going back into the office. So it's been quite a bit of running around and trying to finish last-minute projects, last-minute writing, deadlines that have to be met, and just otherwise preparing for the quarter to start. Quite a bit of students take on this quarter as well, so it should be interesting. And I think other people have already started school, so all the best to them. I'm starting to people to ask. Yeah, they're asking people are asking to light candles and do some work to make it a successful year for them, or an academic year. So fun times, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and in the chat room, we've got a bunch of people, and thank you all for being here, and I just wanted to send a special thank you to Madam Nadi and Professor Porterfield, who were the ones who filled in for me, and Professor Porterfield is in the chat room. Hi, sir. Waving quietly into space. Okay. Well, we have with us as a guest today Miss Elvira with an extremely unusual, almost unheard of topic. And I kind of know what brought this on, but I'm going to let her talk about that. The topic is medical trauma and hoodoo. And we could even broaden that to say medical trauma and magic and prayers in general. But we're going to focus on hoodoo as a form of magic to address medical trauma. Now, let me just, as I always do, set this up a little bit. We're not talking here about emotional trauma. We're not talking about my boyfriend left me, you got to light a candle for me. No, no. We're talking about severe motorcycle injuries and in the ICU. Okay? We're talking about, jumped into the swimming pool and didn't land quite right. We're talking that pit bull down the street, not as friendly as you thought it was. Okay.
No, oh dear.
We're talking about medical trauma, and what role does magic, prayer, and hoodoo play in dealing with that? Now, before I go any farther, this is going to be a disclaimer for the entire show. We are not medical doctors. None of us has an MD license or even osteopathic or naturopathic medical license. Or I don't believe any of us are chiropractors either. So what we're talking about here is what's called an adjunct therapy. We hope to do prayer work and root work, which does include actual roots, not just visualization, not just circles of globes of light now. But we hope to do it in such a way as to not interfere with, but rather to augment the work of the medical doctors. In no way are we prescribing, and in no way are we prescribing treatment or administering medical treatment. That would be against the law. But many doctors, in fact, I'd say these days, most doctors understand the value of adjunct treatment, and that is not to say alternative treatment. Let me explain what I mean here. Alternative treatment means in place of. Adjunct means in addition to or alongside with. When you have a medical trauma and we have broken skin with bleeding, organs coming through muscle tissues where those organs shouldn't come through, bones sticking out of flesh, right? Dilated pupils, babbling, drooling at the mouth, fingernails ripped from their beds, crushed toes, sprained ankles, screaming in pain. We are not going to surround people just with a bubble of light. We are going to call 911 if that's feasible or get them to an ER, right? We all agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With that disclaimer, and I'm sorry it had to be a lengthy disclaimer, let's turn this over to Miss Elvira. And as I said, I kind of know why this is the topic, because Miss Elvira had a bizarre medical trauma.
Yes, I did. Well, it's sort of you know, when you start to do something, you do it because you're involved some way. I mean, invariably, we all have that experience. And when I was asked what topic, it was because I did have a medical emergency where this happened. And then it kind of snowballed into something else as a dear friend had something. And
Yes. May I mention her name, and so we can, because I would like a prayer for her. Her name is Alma. And, yes, Elvira and then Alma, and such close friends. I noticed that right away, and it was, gave me a little chill. Yeah.
It was like, so I was, we won't go into the particulars, but I had an old cat who needed to be groomed and didn't like it, and I was trying to do a good job of it, and I did not hold her properly when I turned her, and she bit me 4 times on the hand. Which, when I later found out in the ER, cat bites are the worst as far as infection. And I did get cat bite fever, which means it went septic. So it was an experience with, you know, ER and admittance and antibiotics and the potential of having surgery if it was necessary, and then it wasn't. And that began to make me think, well, you know, I've had people do healing candles and the different things that were being done for me when I asked. And then a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, Alma and her husband were in a major car accident with someone, a drunk driver, rear-ended the car and basically spun them, horrible situation. She went unconscious, cervical crack, bleeding in brain. Luckily, everything about the airbags deployed. But then what do you do? What do you do as a person who works with healing and root work and all of that? The first thing I will tell you is community. That is the first thing I will say from both experiences and what I would look at. It's not just an individual. We can do our work. We are powerful. But I feel that connecting with our community and reaching out in all directions with that. So the Crystal Silence League, church, the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, your friends who can just light a candle. I mean, that was the first thing I noticed when I heard about it. While I was in it, it was the same thing. If I was conscious, which I was, I called and asked for a candle. But then I began to realize, well, there are other things that we can do. So part of it is prayer to Archangel Raphael, prayer to the healing deities in whatever pantheon that you believe and work in, and then going from there. If you take, if you're not in the same place as the individual, making a poppet, using their picture, starting to work with, you know, ringing them with stones, getting the healing herbs that are in any number of the list that we have out there, which, you know, I mean, we can go into a lot of that if we want to, but I'm just sort of, I found that this was what I started in action with, and then the candle work, and then, you know, the milagros, the, you know, the idea of, in ancient times, and it isn't just the Hispanics, it was very definitely in the Greek times and farther back, people would make body parts out of clay, and then they would take them to the healing temples and ask for healing. Well, the same thing can be true with what's going on in this particular focus, and work with it in that way. Certain things you can, you know, I do have different things for fractures and for, you know, I went into looking for things specifically for relief of pain and if you had to go to surgery and some of the different things that would open up those areas that you're looking at and how you as a practitioner can work for an emergency situation as well as a friend.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna sidetrack here a bit on milagros because I know that not everyone who listens to this show knows as much as everyone else. So let me explain about milagros for a minute, what she mentioned. She mentioned things, everything else everyone knows. Everyone knows what stones are, roots and herbs, candles. Milagro is a word that means a miracle. They are also called ex votos. That's a more proper name for them, actually. Ex voto means from a vow. And the vow is made, and these are very traditional, in ancient Bronze Age European civilization and spread up into Iron Age Europe. And thereby, when the colonial Europeans came to Central and South America, the practice of using ex votos went to South and Central America. They are a vow that if a body part or person is healed or kept safe, that you will do something in return. So it's a promise, it's a vow. And they can be made of silver or stamped tin that's silver and nickel plated. They can be made of wax, clay. They can be made of glass that has been reverse painted with beautiful things. They sometimes have words on them. If you look up ex votos, and because many people in the United States are familiar with ex votos through the incoming Mexican Catholics, and think of them as something Mexican, they're actually not Mexican per se. And the German style of ex votos or milagros, they don't call them milagros, in Germany they call them ex votos, is the most popular style in Central and South America. In other words, they're copying German models and Greek models. And they're beautiful. They might be in the form of a heart, an arm, a foot. People sometimes laugh and they go, my God, that's a picture. I mean, it's a stamped tin intestines. Yes, it is. Someone has some problem with their intestines. Or they might be breasts. They might be children kneeling and praying. And there also are ex votos and milagros for domestic animals, cows, goats, dogs, cats, and turkeys even. And those are used variously depending on the particular church that you are worshiping at. They do have a Catholic context, generally speaking, but you don't have to use them in that context. They predate Catholicism by thousands of years. They would often be brought to the temple or church, and in modern usage, there might be a saint statue, which might be dressed in real cloth. And the milagros, which are small, might be pinned to that statue. In Northern Europe, they're more likely to be hung on the wall, and they would be framed paintings, often, like I said, reverse painted in glass, so they're easy to dust. They stay nice and neat. And they might say, Maria Hilf, you know, Mary Help, you know, and then underneath they might add with a little two pieces of chain another little framed one that says, Maria hat geholfen, Maria has helped. And that's the payoff, as it was. That was the vow. If Maria, if you help, I will put up a sign saying that you did help. And sometimes the vow is to give money to the poor. Sometimes the vow is to spread their fame. So sorry for this side trip, but I just had to explain what a milagro is or an ex voto and why we would use them if someone had an injured body part.
This is very strong, and I look at that as, you know, it's another way over and above the sending of the energy and the, you know, all of the things that go into the other side. And I did want to, you know, concur that, you know, when we use magic and when we use spells and when we use root work in a trauma environment, a medical situation, straightforward physical, that it's in conjunction with. To enhance the ability to heal, to be able to get through the process, to bring, you know, a miracle, or just to help the human being begin their process of, you know, healing and stabilizing.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of the milagro and ex voto is a particularly fascinating one because they bring in a certain dynamic or element to this type of work. And that is intercession. In a lot of healing work, there is a focus on kind of the miraculous, right? Or focus on an intercession by an outside force, be it an ancestor, a saint, an angel, Ms. Alvara mentioned, for example, the Archangel Raphael. And in folk Catholic practices, there are dozens and dozens of saints were called upon for all sorts of healing. And of course, the saint par excellence for this would be the Virgin herself, Virgin Mary, who is often called on by mothers and family members to help out with children or illnesses. Over time, in certain parts of Mexico, Santísima Muerte has kind of overtook in terms of popularity for these type of miraculous work. She's often called a performer saint. But in Hoodoo, the ancestors are another person, that another spiritual entity that is called. The idea being that the ancestors are keenly interested in ensuring the health and survival of their lineage, and so will assist in any way that they can. So how does the Expoto or the Milagro pertain to Hoodoo? And that is that you often make a vow to the spirits that you work with, regardless of what they are, that if they intercede and assist with swift recovery, bringing in the right doctors, ensuring the treatment is done, that you in turn will do something for them. More often than not, I found that, for example, feeding the poor, in addition to feeding the spirits themselves, but feeding the poor is something that the spirits are quite interested in, especially done in their name. Saints in particular are very focused on that. And that is an ex-voto of its own type, an action. I have found that over the years, Milagro has become more and more associated with the physical object and ex-voto with more of the concept or the act. And so bringing that into Hoodoo practice, asking the ancestors, you know, if you have a great-grandmother, to look after your child as they go into some type of treatment or surgery, and in turn, you will set up an offering for your ancestor and feed the poor, is a very powerful way of working. What it does is it hands the situation out of your hands into spirit's hands, whose hands are far more capable than ours, saying, look, it's now in your hands, or if not spirit, God directly. And even in that case, an ex-voto or some type of offering in return is a great way of working. Lord, if you help out in this case, in return, I will feed the hungry in your name, I will give in your name to the poor. It's a very, very powerful. I mean, people look at this and see kind of the religious dynamics, but where religion and spirit practice divide is not always clear. I also want to mention Psalm 146, which is a very powerful psalm when it comes to this type of healing work. I was taught to roll it up into a scroll, place it into some type of container or a small kind of locket, and then have the person carry it. I even knew root doctors in a lot of the rural areas, they often function as kind of, down home doctors of their own. You know, that's the people you went to get your broken arm set. Now, I certainly don't recommend that. But one of the things that they did was they would take Psalm 146 and actually bind it onto the body parts of people. So the talisman was worn directly on the injured body. It was used to reduce fevers, and it was used to help with any type of cutting of the body or treatment of the body itself.
Right. This is all very, very true. And I'm also going to go into a bit of herbology here. And this is magical herbology. Althea leaves and Althea root are used for spiritual healing and also medical healing in the old days. The root is mucilaginous when you macerate it up in water, and you can make a kind of a bandage poultice with it. And Althea literally means the healer. And so you can give a person a mojo bag. You can also use these herbs to dress a candle, or use them if you are making any kind of a liquid or tea for someone to drink. Look up whether they are medically sound to give. In other words, you don't want to do anything that was going to be interfering with any medications that a doctor would give you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give anything toxic, but Althea is very soothing. Angelica root is called mm-hmm. archangel root and is used when applying for the help of any archangel. Okay, bone set obviously is for setting bones, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will cure. It also is used mostly in Hoodoo. People use it to prevent accidents, but bone set is also used for setting of broken bones. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Then another one is golden seal. A golden seal is just generally a health strengthener. It doesn't do any one specific thing, but it's just for overall health. Life everlasting if a person's life is hanging in the balance and you want them to live longer or better, mm-hmm. life everlasting, which is a little dried flower, is very good for that. Peony root also promotes long life and is another one that is very useful in making a mojo or helping with anything mm-hmm. like that. Plantain leaf is used against fever. Now, fever, we're speaking here of a fever, you know, caused by some infectious disease. Plantain used to be used, and I'm not speaking here of the banana plantain, but of the one that grows in your lawn. It's called goosefoot plantain. And it's a big flat leaf, and it would be wetted and put on the forehead as a poultice, you see. And but you can also use plantain if someone is at a distance and use it in a prayer packet for them. And then there is self-heal. And self-heal is also known as all-heal. And self-heal is, you can use it for yourself, obviously, but it is a beautiful sort of a floral a dried flower. It's on a little stalk, and you want to just get that whole little stalk. You can use it in making a tea or anything like that. And those are the herbs that I would recommend. Another one that some people use is called ten bark, T-E-N, like 10 barks. It's used to take off fevers. Medically used to be used that way. And so you would, you can again use 10 bark in any kind of thing where you could bathe somebody or something like that. It's fairly astringent. Be careful when you put anything like that on a wound. We, you know, in other words, use good scents. But I've given you all a list of, you know, of some herbs that are very valuable in a root bag. You don't have to use them all, but these are ones that are used for different forms of work.
And this now, really goes back to the root doctor for the long, for a long period of American history. And a great deal of medical knowledge as well. And I think people kind of forget that we think of root doctors today specifically as spiritual practitioners, and whilst they certainly are, their historical origins is that they were often the country doctor. You know, the person you went to who helped you with your cold as well as ensured that you, your husband came back home faithfully to you. And while I certainly am not saying root doctors should replace doctors in any way, shape, or form, teas are a really great way of augmenting the medical treatments or the type of surgery or whatnot that you're getting from doctors. It allows a natural, holistic augmentation, if you will.
Okay, I'm going to break in here, too. Alchemical Artisans Hour added that I left off comfrey. And, of course, I'm so sorry. You're absolutely right. Comfrey, leaf or root, is also used for healing wounds and very good and can be made into a salve, which I have used with success on people in the past. And but, again, we're not trying to replace a doctor, but comfrey, leaf or root is either one is very, very powerful. The root is probably the more powerful of the two for healing. And there are a few others, that, like feverfew, that's used against, you know, for prevention of accidents or used against headaches. But I'm talking here about the ones that are really used against trauma. Okay. Now, the other thing I'd like to talk about and get into a little bit is candle magic, because Elvira, you brought this up. Everyone's first impulse when they hear someone's in the hospital is to light a candle. And this is a beautiful impulse. And it the lights of many candles have gone up for some people and have saved them. And I know this has happened. So those candles can be dressed with a bit of roots and herbs from the list I gave. They can also be dressed with oils that are like healing oil is one that I make at Lucky Mojo. And we have a few others that people will use, Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez. People will often use St. Francis if it's an animal who needs healing. And there are St. Martin de Porres, who was not only a medical doctor and pharmacist, but he also treated animals, so he was sort of a veterinarian. And so those saints are, and of course, Raphael. And Martin de Porres is always shown with a little dog, a cat, and a little dove and a rat, so he's kind of for all of the domestic species. Now, when you burn a candle for someone who's in the hospital or in the ER, you have to, you know, pray, and you also have to, you know, let the signs be what they are. I'm going to tell you something. I think I actually have mentioned this on air before. I had a very close friend who was in a motorcycle accident. She was riding on her own motorcycle, and she was hit by a drunk driver who had a car, so he outweighed her by a lot. She went flying, and she suffered literally a severed head. Her spinal cord was intact. Her skull broke off of her spine. For the most amazing coincidence, the next person on the scene was a doctor who worked at Stanford University, and he got her to, believe it or not, he got her stabilized. He got her to Stanford, where the one guy who's operated on the other three people who lived with this condition operated on her and saved her. And she was in a medically induced coma for quite a while, and she wrote a lot about it, and she while she was in a coma, of course, we all of us who cared and for her and loved her were doing healing candles. And I was doing a healing candle which had the Virgin Mary in the form of Our Lady of Grace. And the candle cracked and split. And blue wax, it was, you know, it's Mary, so it was blue wax, poured out on the left side of Mary and poured and made a puddle at Mary's feet on the left side, and her the label where her hand was burned up. And I diagnosed that correctly, that my friend would be fine, her head would be fine, she would have all her senses, all her intelligence, which proved to be true. She could mobilize, she could walk, but her left hand would be permanently damaged, and it was. And she's worked very hard to regain mobility, but her left hand, she wears a brace on her arm, and she it was remarkable. And so when you burn a candle for someone, you need to look at the signs also and, you know, understand, you know, God answers every prayer, but the answer may not be yes, 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 this is, you know, going to really, everything's going to be cured with one candle. There are reasons that, you know, we all have lives that are finite and we don't know what God's plans are. But the cracking of that candle was a sign. And I do want to mention something else. It's in the chat room right now, just really quick. A little chickiwawa is a little silky chicken of ours, a little black chicken. And she's come up with some sort of, we don't know what. She's been to the vet. Was hard to diagnose. Could have been an injury. It could be a viral neurological something. But she is lame, and it appears to be neurological. So a little prayers for a little chickiwawa. She's eating, she's drinking, but she can't walk, and we're a little concerned. And of course, if she doesn't recover within a week or so, we'll probably just have to, you know, send her to where all good chickens go. But she's a beautiful little hen, and we really are trying our best. She's had medical attention. She's had everything, and we're just praying for her. Mm. And Professor Porterfield quotes that beautiful quote in the chat room made by my dear late lamented pastor, Johnny Otis, who said, God answers every prayer, but sometimes the answer is no, because otherwise everyone's grandmother would still be alive.
Very true. I do want to add real briefly that among the list of spirits and saints that you mentioned, that St. Michael is often overlooked as a healing saint, and that is because St. Raphael has become, or Archangel Raphael, has become quite prominent as the healer of God. But originally, Archangel Michael, before he was associated with the hosts of heaven, was a healing archangel. The earliest shrine that we had from him from the 4th century, the Michaelion, which was built over a pagan temple, had healing waters. And many of Archangel Michael's earliest shrines had healing waters of some sort. Today, he's predominantly called upon for more aggressive protection work. But he is a very powerful healer. I actually find that for holistic healing, Archangel Raphael is something more gentle and aimed at recovery and bandages, if you will, is Archangel Michael or Raphael. But when it comes to something a little bit more aggressive, like the treating of fevers or surgery, Archangel Michael's a very powerful healer to call upon.
Yeah. There are, in the Catholic world, there's a lot of angels, saints, that are specialized into different things. For instance, Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez, which is used for healing, he was hit by a car and killed in reality, in real life. And so sometimes when people have been hit by a car, they pray to him. St. Florian was a fireman in Rome, and he was they tried to set him on fire, but they eventually drowned him by tying a millstone to his neck. And there's all this, you know, drowning in fire, and St. Florian is called upon. And there are a few others that have that reputation for whatever it is that they are appealed to for the various types of healing.
You can also use that St. Jude for very difficult circumstances. So if it's a life-threatening,
nice.
That's right.
I would, you know, add that particular energy into the mix. Like if they're, you know, like they're on the surgery table and they just came in through the car accident, and you know that I would use that as well.
That's right. And there's one other one, and this is a one that is probably, you know, fading into the past of the beautiful Catholic churches, but it when I was young, and you still can see it, the Infant of Prague is a manifestation of Jesus that was seen in Prague, you know, the city of Prague. And the Infant of Prague, you know what a novena is, right? That's a 9-day prayer. Novena means 9 days. And the Infant of Prague is sometimes called baby's first novena, because the Infant of Prague, you pray the novena in 9 hours. And it's thought that any child can keep a concentration on praying a novena for 9 hours. And because of that, the Infant of Prague became the infant of novenas of surgery. Because when a person goes into surgery, there's the prep time, there's the surgery, there's the coming out of surgery, and therefore the novena is done in 9 hours. And when I was young, and still I think in Catholic churches, there's often a chapel to the Infant of Prague for those who want to play the 9-hour novena while someone is in surgery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did want something. When we were in, when I was in ICU with Alma, one of the things they did, which is really interesting on their television, you know, for ICU, they have television, obviously, that people can watch, but they have a channel that it sends into the chapel that has a camera, so you can have the chapel to pray in.
Okay. All right. Well, that ends our topic for the day. So let's turn this over to Papa Newt, and we'll see about getting some callers.
Thank you, Ms. Kat, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Hunter Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to the host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller, and we are actually taking a caller from the queue who has their hands up, area code 571. 571, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, calling from Northern Virginia. And what is your name?
My name is Kimberly. I'm actually calling from Hawaii. We're stationed in Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Well, welcome from Hawaii. All right. And in a brief, about 2 or 3 sentences, can you give a brief description of your situation or question you have?
Yes, I'm confused. My husband filed for divorce and not sure which way to go.
All right.
Oh,
wow.
All righty. I'm so sorry to hear that. That just sounds like a shock and not a welcome turn of events. Let me ask you just a couple questions before we start. Have you ever been on this show before?
No. I have not.
All right. And what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo. And what sign of the zodiac is your husband?
Gemini.
Boy, you all could have heard the pin drop there. And, you know, if I say anything, people are just going to back me up against the wall and shoot me. Honey, I hate to say this, but we've had a whole run of these Gemini divorces. I'm so sorry. I'm not laughing at you. It's like when you said that, I went, oh, no. Okay. And how long have you all been married?
It'll be 4 years in November.
4 years. And do you have any children?
I have one by him, yes.
Oh, dear. And you have some others, too?
Yes, I have four others.
Oh, my. Five children.
Is this his first marriage or his second marriage?
This is my second and his first.
Okay.
All right. So now I think I have the picture here. Well, both of you are mutable signs, but you are mutable Earth. Mutable Earth is someone who's changeable, but Earth doesn't change very much. You can plow it up 1 year and leave it fallow the next, and it'll grow a crop and it'll go dormant. But it's always still Earth, even if you try to rearrange the decorations on it. He is mutable air, and once you mix air up into the atmosphere, you don't recognize the individual molecules anyway. They just all stir it up. And Geminis do have a tendency to segmentalize their life into different time periods, which do not overlap with other time periods. So divorce is not uncommon among the Geminis. And other people divorce too, but they tend to move on if they feel thwarted in any way. So let me look at the cards and see what I've got here. All right. The first card I have here is, this is not too hot, honey. I'm sorry to say this. First card I have is a card called Justice. And that is a card that says you would do well to prepare for divorce. It's a card that doesn't say necessarily you're going to go to court over everything or fight over everything, but it says that there are legal papers that will need to be signed. You will need a lawyer. Seek justice, but do not seek revenge. That's a hard one to tell anybody who's getting a divorce, especially when they've been blindsided and had it come upon them. But you will be a better person for it if you just seek justice. Now, justice doesn't mean be a doormat. Justice means get what you need for yourself. And I'm feeling here that this justice card does not imply that this is going to be on again, off again, that this is going to be come back right away. It just seems to me that it's saying there's a sword. The Lady of Justice holds a sword. Things will be divided. There is a balance beam scale. Try to keep the custody issues and any alimony issues or whatever you need to get at a decent level. It is a shame, and I'm going to tell you this from the standpoint of our United States laws, and this won't make a lot of sense to anyone who listens to this outside of it. If you're not married for 10 years, you're not going to be having access to that person's Social Security as nicely as you would. And there are people who will cut a marriage short before that 10 years is up, just out of spite. And whatever went on here, you're going to have to make your own way with five children and just hope that he does take care of the kids. Now, the next card is the Six of Cups, and that's a good card for children. It shows two children giving each other little gifts of flowers in a courtyard. The bad news is that there's a guard who should be standing guard over them, and he's got his back turned to them. So, yes, he's guarding them, but the man is not actually participating as a true family father. So there's something going on with this man that he's just basically going to turn his back. He may guard them. In other words, he's going to pay child support. He'll do his part if you make him do it. But what I'm seeing here is that the children, though, should all be taught to look out for each other, regardless if they're half siblings or full siblings. Do you see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make them be a mingled family. The children will love each other and care for each other, but the father has his back turned in this card. And the third card is a card that says, be cautious about believing what the man says. The card is the Seven of Swords, and it's a card that is called the card of the liar and the thief. And he may be not as honest with you as you would wish. And this could involve hiding money, or it could involve hiding other aspects of his life from you. There's a dishonesty around the man. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, so perfect.
Be very, very careful. This is a man who is stealing swords that belong to warriors, and he's sort of claiming a sort of bravado that he doesn't really possess, if that makes sense. There are some knights in armor around a campfire discussing their exploits, and he's just sort of tiptoeing around stealing their swords behind their back. Mm-hmm. Not all that he appeared to be, not truly the honest person that you would have wished for in your love life. And as Logan says in the chat room, it's sad, but knowledge is power, so it's better to know than to not know. Okay, that's very wise words from Logan 1965. Thank you. Because what I'm seeing is here is you need to arm yourself for justice. Make sure the children all understand that they all have a place in your heart, and get him to pay his child support. And don't believe everything the man says, because there's something going on here that not on the up and up. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Elvira, and we'll see what kind of a reading she does.
Okay, so I guess the cards I threw, because it was interesting, I was throwing these cards as you were going on, Miss Kat, and I came up with more of what is hidden is a combination of something to do with another offer of love and money. So, because what I have is the Knight of Cups and the Knight of Pentacles, and I have the High Priestess, which is there's silence around the whole process. So that plus the fact that you've got the Three of Pentacles and the Eight of Wands kind of tells me that this is something that even though he sprung it on you, he's known for a while. And it may have even taken place, the situation may have, you know, started on a trip where he may have gone off and this had happened. I do firmly agree with Miss Kat that you need to make sure that he takes care of the child that is his and the children as a group, because what I see here is there may be, with the last card I pulled, the Six of Swords, it may be something that there is going to be troubled emotional and mental situations you need to be prepared for. So getting, as my mom would say, your ducks in a row is really important here. So the lawyer definitely, and most people always want to know what happened, why did this occur? I honestly feel that he didn't have the intention that you thought he had, and that's what this is now. It's a surprise, but not necessarily really a surprise, because something in his past, and you may know about it, is kind of what's playing out again. So that's kind of where I would say at this point, start preparing. Get the things you need done. It may have been a shock, but yes, now it's time to get down and get the things needed to be done.
Yeah, that's really hard. And I am concerned, and my card showed this, and I believe, Elvira, you said the Knight of, which was the first one?
The Knight of Cups and the Knight of Pentacles.
Yeah, so that Knight of Pentacles can stand for slow money. And this is something where you're going to have to keep the flow of money going. We don't want you living like a poor little church mouse with five little baby mice. You know what I mean? This is a hardship, and women so often end up, one of the gifts you can give a man is a baby, and then you're left with the baby, and maybe more babies, and it is a real disaster for females from the standpoint of economics, and we all know about this. I've been there, you've been there now. My heart, it goes out to you, because that's going to be a hardship. Okay. And now, let's see what root work that Ali might prescribe. Ali, is there anything? Well, let me ask one question, ma'am. You're pretty well understanding. We're not going to give you anything to get him back. We're not seeing that in the cards. Are you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So if that's what you'd like, you could ask for it, but I think that Ollie's going to work with what you can do to get the best out of the situation you can.
Yes, that was...
Okay.
Thanks, Kat. You're absolutely right. That's the direction I want to take with this. Because in a situation like those, with the cards that Kat and Ms. Alvara both pulled, what we'd want to do is make sure that you're taken care of and your children are taken care of. That really is the priority above everything else. And so what I would say in a situation like this is work towards ensuring that the court aspect of it, the legal aspect of it, goes in favor of you. The thing with Geminis, and this is not a bad thing against them, they're absolutely wonderful, fantastic signs, is that they are flighty a bit, and we want to make sure that money-wise, financially, you are taken care of. Otherwise, this can be a bit of a drag for you, especially since you have children. So I would say it's two separate workings, right? First, what I want you to do is do working on him aimed at making him pay up, right? So that whatever the courts decide, whatever you guys decide, whether it's via arbitration and mediation or you go on to the courts, whatever it is, that he, you know, steps up to the plate and does his end of the bargain or his end of his obligations. What you do is I want you to take a photo of him and his child, if you can get that. If you can't, then you can Photoshop this or just use old school cutting out and pasting it together. And you're going to write on the back of this his name three times with your name, turn it clockwise, one turn, and write your name three times over that along with your child's name. Okay? And then in a box, you're going to write it along the edge of the photo. This isn't an unbroken circle or anything like that. You're going to write a petition along the edges of the photo in a square. And you can write, so and so, you pay child support and alimony and fulfill your emotional and financial obligations to your child and family. What you're doing is you're creating a working that ensures that your family survives, even if it is in a different format, or different form, I should say, than it was before. What you'll do is you'll place this into a jar along with sugar, cinnamon, five-finger grass, calamus, basil, licorice, cascara sagrada, which is very good for court case works. You are then going to close this, and every day you are going to shake it up, calling on him to step up and pay what he needs to pay. Now, when he does, whether he gives it, in the form of a check or whatnot, take a little bit of that money, a smaller portion of it, you can cash it, pull it out of the bank, whatever, and place it into the jar along with the herbs and the petition. That is to ensure that he's always giving you money. Right? So he's always giving you the money that you need. That's the first end of the working. It's a sweetening jar, a little bit modified, but specifically for you, aimed at getting him to ensure that he is taking care of his child and his family. The next thing you need to do, this is done simultaneously, you don't need to do them in separate sets, is to dust every paper that you are handed with court case powders. Now, if you're only going to use a little bit, you're not going to use a lot, just a pinch, you're going to add some court case powders to the back of all papers, and you're going to run your hands on them and flip the paper so that all the excess come off. This is so that whoever handles your document finds in favor of you. Okay? I don't sense you're going to have a lot of aggressive work that you need to do or any type of harsh work, but making sure that the cards are stacked in your favor is the key. Making sure that the conditions are right spiritually for you to get what you want is what you want to do first and foremost. That's what I would recommend. They're very simple, they're very straightforward. Let me open this up and see if Kant or Ms. Elvira have any other suggestions to add on to that.
Yeah, Elvira, do you have anything to add?
Well, you know, since I'm a fire sign, I definitely like fire. So my feeling would be is to use a just judge candle to get a just judge with the legal system and any judge that hears this. So obviously address it with I would do it with money oil, so you would get a definite justice on the money situation, and you could even take some of the herbs that Conjurman Ali has and put it in a little on a piece of paper, and after you've oiled it, roll the candle in it so it kind of like a rolling pin, and then burn that. And I really would tend, even though, Tuesday's like the day of, aggressive energy, I would tend to do it on a Thursday, which is a money day, and it is a day of, that kind of energy you can put it on. So that would be what I would tend to add.
That's good. I like that. Money, any kind of money oil, money drawing, money stay with me, money house blessing. I also recommend pay me oil. You can make a blend of those oils, of any of one, two, three, or four of those oils. And we do make something called a root worker special, which we do blend them. And when she talks about rolling a candle, she's talking about a freestanding candle, like a household candle or a taper candle. If it is a glass candle, you would put the herbs, a little powder them up and put a little, or rub them in your hand and put them in the top of the candle. You're not going to roll the outside of the glass.
No.
And, well, no. I always have to make it clear for the newcomers, because so many people.
It's a good clarification. I've had a client do that before.
Yeah, I had a client take a glass candle and roll it in honey.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah.
My.
All right. So, so that's how we work it. You're going to put it in the candle if it's glass, roll the candle or drizzle it or however you want to do it if it's a freestanding candle. All right. And I hope we were able to help, hon. This is a situation you will live through, and we wish you all the best.
Yes,
all
good
right.
Luck and all the best.
Yeah, good luck to you, and God bless you. All right, we're on to our next section.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. We are taking another caller from the queue from area code 202 in Washington, D.C. Caller, are you there? Area code 202.
Hello?
Hello. May I have your name, please?
Natalie?
I'm sorry?
Natalie.
Oh, welcome to the show. Have you called into the show before?
Yes, I have.
Oh, all right. Well, welcome back. And are you calling about the same situation, or is this a new situation or question?
A different situation.
All right. And in 2 to 3 sentences, could you provide a brief description of your situation or question?
Yes. I'd like to know when will I get married and any sort of root work I can do to further my cause.
Okay. Boy, that's real straightforward. So we're going to do a little bit of card reading on when, and then we're going to do some root work on how to get this going on. Okay? So let's turn our first reading over to Ali. And I recognize Natalie's voice. Do you, Ali?
I don't, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
You sound familiar, but I can't pinpoint it.
Yeah, no, I recognize Natalie's voice. So welcome back, hon. I do recognize you. But go ahead, Ali, and let's do a reading on when will she be able to get married. And, I guess I have a question before I turn this over to Ali, and I know it's a question he would ask. Do you have anybody in mind?
No, I was in love with the guy, but that went kaput. He was no good.
Okay, all right. Now we got so we have a wide open field here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Ms. Kent. And you have far more of an encyclopedic memory than I do, I must say. I recognize your voice, but I don't like recognize specifically. Like I know it's familiar. I do have two questions of my own, I will say. First is, if you don't mind me asking, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Capricorn.
Capricorn, okay, that's not unusual. And if you don't mind me asking, and I hope it's not terribly impertinent of me, is roughly how old you are. If you're uncomfortable, you can just tell us a decade or so.
40 years old.
You're in your 40s. Okay, thank you. The reason I ask this is Capricorns tend to marry a little bit later in life. That's not uncommon. Capricorn and Aquarius both, I should say. They tend to, I have experienced that either they date older people or there's generational differences in the relationship, or they tend to get married or settle down, find love a little bit later in life. So nothing to worry about there. No serious issues. Let's take a look. I'm going to pull 3 cards and see what they say in regards to your chances of getting married and when it will happen. Well, the answer is good, but it's what I suspect at the very first card that I have. He's a 3 of wands. Here we have a tired person, a person who's kind of reached the end of their rope, leaning on a staff as they overlook a hill. They overlook a bay. They're standing on a hill. And around them are 2 other staffs. This is a card that often says, victory is on its way, but it's later. Miss Cat has once told me that this is a card that depicts sunset, and I absolutely agree. I remember when she said that, I went, how did I not see that before? The 3 of Wands very clearly talks about coming, but it's still a ways off. So I do see marriage in the cards for you, but I don't see it coming in by the end of this year, for example, or that you'll be ready by New Year's Eve or the New Year. I see this as still a ways off. Now, again, it's not too unusual for Capricorns to marry a little bit later. So bear that in mind, that this seems to be just part of the fate, but there's certain things that you can do to speed them up. The Ace of Pentacles is the next card that I have, which confirms very clearly that, yes, you will get married. The Ace of Pentacles is a divine hand, the hand of God, so to speak, reaching out of a cloud with a golden coin. It is a blessing. It is a gift that is given unto you from God. And below this coin is a beautiful hedge, a place where a wedding would more often take place. So the answer is yes, that you will get married. I don't see it for at least a year, maybe even longer, perhaps up to 3 years before you will get married. So definitely not within the next year, but before the 3-year mark or around the 3-year mark is when I see that marriage. And the final card that I have is another ace. It is the Ace of Wands. Again, we have the hand of God reaching out of a cloud with a staff. Now some say that this is the rod of Aaron that is blossoming this tells us that you have the power to move things along or speed this along, that you, this is not simply a passive matter of waiting, as the Three of Wands seems to speak about, which is just, you know, you have to wait, you have to be patient. The Ace of Wands is much more active. It is empowerment, it is strength. You have the ability to work changes and transform your situation. So the cards say, without any intervention whatsoever, yes, you will get married, not for a while, though. But they also indicate that if you want to move it up faster or find someone, you can do so with root work, spiritual work, and calling upon the power that you have been granted. That's what I see in the cards. And I believe Miss Alvara is going to give your second reading.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to say that the first row of cards I have is, you know, the Chariot, the Ten of Swords, and the Two of Cups, which tells me that old love of yours, you need to do a little cleansing out of that energy on a spirit level, because it's got some stick to you. It's kind of like you need to kind of get rid of some of that energy and the feeling of disappointment and all of that. But with the Ten of Swords, it does tell me there is a new beginning, that it is really just a matter of clearing the energies that sort of are stuck around you, and you have to kind of get rid of that. Because the second level of cards, which is really nice, it's the Four of Wands, the King of Wands, and the Seven of Wands, which are all fire sign, and they're all passion, and they're all, you know, this energy of yes, and so celebration, which is the Four of Wands, means yes, there is a marriage for you, definitely. And the gentleman seems like he not only has a sense of humor, but he's going to be a good match to your passion and your enthusiasm to life. That is really important. And for you to not try to push him away because of the things. I mean, we can say we want something, but then we get a little nervous, and so we kind of do this little dance of pushing things away. So definitely a little cleansing work needs to be put there. Final card is a definite. Yes, it will be the Five of Pentacles, which even in the middle of what you feel right now may be like winter, nothing happening, is there is going to be that which manifests, because the fruit on the trees are there. So it will come to pass. It's just there's some, to me, from what I'm seeing, some excess old junk that needs to go, and then like anything else, you weed your garden, and then you start fertilizing and planting and doing all kinds of neat stuff.
All right. Well, Natalie, what we want to do, it looks like, is let nature take its course, but we want to speed up nature a little bit. In other words, instead of just planting the seeds and letting them sit there and sprout in their own due time, which might cause some delay, we're going to maybe pre-sprout those seeds, and we're going to maybe start those plants in a greenhouse so that they'll be ready to run as soon as we have a frost-free day, if you see what I mean. You understand what I'm getting at here?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So let's talk about how we can do this. First thing was, let's follow up on what Elvira said. She said that you need to do a cleansing to get rid of the energy of all past boyfriends, lovers, husbands, dates, whatever. And I would recommend a little bit of a cut and clear type bath, but I don't think you need a whole cut and clear ceremony. I don't think you need to do a ritual or a spell. But just you can just do some bathing with a few very simple herbs that you could find in your kitchen, and that can be used for that. Lemon juice is one. Just get a lemon. And some people will grate up the lemon rind and put it in a little bag and put it in the bathtub too. And but just add a little bit of lemon juice. And some people back in the day when they couldn't get lemon juice, well, they would just use a little bit of vinegar, something sour, and that's going to represent what you're wiping away, cutting away. You could also use the herb called lemon verbena. It's not a lemon. It's a verbena, but it's called lemon verbena because it has a slightly acidic, lemony scent. You could also use the herb called lemongrass, but you most likely won't have that in your kitchen unless you're Southeast Asian. It's used in Vietnamese, Laotian, Cambodian cooking, and you can find it in occult shops, but you can also find it in Asian grocery stores. So any of the lemony products, lemon verbena, lemongrass, lemon, and or if you can't find any of that, just use a little vinegar. You're going to put a little of that in a bath. And you're also going to add to it a little touch of sugar or honey. I know it's going to sound like you're sort of pickling yourself here, but it's really not a lot. You're not going to put a whole lot. But just to say, I keep the sweet, and I'm letting the sour be cut away. And you could add other herbs too, but those are the best ones for what I'm foreseeing here for you. Just take that bath. Don't overload it with, if you have a shower instead of a bath, just brew up a little bit of that in a warm water and then pour that over yourself and just rinse. Okay. Now what you're doing when you do that is just to remove anything from you. If you prefer to use oils or perfumes, I would recommend the oil that I would recommend would be Van Van oil, or you could use Hindu grass oil, or you could use lemon oil, or you could use Chinese wash, which has soap in it and is basically the same as Van Van with a liquid soap in it. And so any of those will also be used to clear away anything that was in your way. But do put a little bit of honey in with it or a little bit of dissolved sugar. So that's your bath. After you've done that, I want you to do some serious work to draw in someone new. And you're going to work with white candles. You can use candles in the form of a male figure, but you can also just use birthday candles. You can use 4-inch, 6-inch, 9-inch, tea light, jumbos, pullouts, white glass enclosed candles, or white stubbies or votive candles. Doesn't matter as long as it's white. Reason we say white is white represents the absence of color, and therefore it represents the unknown, but the good unknown. It's not a dark thing. It's nothing you're afraid of. It's the light that's coming toward you, but it hasn't yet been formed. Okay. When you meet somebody, you're going to switch to pink candles to encourage friendship and love, and then as you get closer to them, you're going to switch to red candles to bring about sexual passion and that hoped-for offer of marriage. But we're going to start with white candles. So on those white candles, you can inscribe them, "My future husband, come to me." Okay, that's all you need to write on it. If you have an idea about what that husband should be like, "My husband with a six-figure income, come to me." And you could write it on a dollar bill. If you want to have a child with a husband, you would say, "My husband who will bring me a baby, come to me." If you want to have a husband who owns a home, "My husband who owns a home, come to me." But usually it's best to ask for as little as possible and ask for love most of all. And that is the fastest way to get what you want, because you don't have to load them down with a lot of requests, just the request that God sends you your husband. And you can use some of the love herbs around that candle. Roses, cubeb berries, coriander, there's a whole lot of them. Ginger to speed up the love affair, and other things of that nature. Go to the webpage called Hoodoo at a Glance. It's luckymojo.com/hoodooataglance.html, and you'll find a whole lot of love herbs and products listed there. Any one of them will work, and there are so many of them. Damiana for passion, but I'd hold that back till you meet somebody. In any case, when you get your stuff together, oh, and violet is always good, too, for love. And there's a few others. I mean, there's so many. But you're going to get your little bunch of herbs around that candle and put some in a bag and carry it on you a little bit, just a small amount in a little bosom mojo or a little gris-gris bag. And also say your prayers at the Crystal Silence League. Just post your prayers. Please bring my husband to me. And you can write down your wish list. I've done it. Bring me my husband who is not a drug addict. Bring me my husband who is not a liar. Bring me my husband who is well-employed or can find employment if he moves to where I live. Those requests can always be added. And burn that candle every morning when you get up, and ask, as the sun rises, bring me my husband who will work for me all day long and bring me his pay at night. He will be as hardworking and faithful as the sun is long in the day and always come home to me every night. And just light that candle, burn it for 15 minutes. So that's why some people like to use a little candle. You don't have to use a big one. You can also use lodestones, two lodestones, one to represent you, one to represent him. Bring them closer and closer together. But this is going to go on until you meet and find that man. So don't be wasting a seven-day lodestone spell on 7 months of time. Put those lodestones together. Put them under your bed. Or, if you want to, keep them on the altar and just light the candle by it. All right. Well, that's my advice. And I see what everybody else has to say.
The only thing I'd have to add to that, that was fantastic, Ms. Keda, is just a little bit of Love Me oil and Bewitching oil that you wear on your wrists and behind your ears would be really good augmentative. It helps to really, I like when people wear the scent of oils while they're doing candle work. It grounds the work on your body. And it's also good because as you go about, it'll draw people directly to you. I like adding the Bewitching oil because it's always a good ego and confidence boost to turn heads a little bit.
Yeah, and Look Me Over oil. Again, you can mix and blend these oils. If you want to get a 4-ounce Root Worker special, it would be Look Me Over, Love Me, Bewitching, and maybe Come to Me. Those would all be good. Or Dixie Love is a good one for someone who's faithful. Marriage oil, since you're looking for a marriage, pick any four of those. Or you can just buy them and mix them yourself. Good ideas, Ollie. How about you, Elvira? Do you have any ideas for this?
Well, a simple one, because I know I'm watching our time and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we're just so excited about this. We're going and going. I would say let your inner kid come out and go do a vision board. You know, get a poster board of the color that you love the best. Obviously, traditionally, red is like to draw. But get pictures and words from songs and poems and put it on that board and just have that where you can see it and feel it, because you're creating your spell just like the things that Miss Kat has given you and Conjure Man Ollie. This is a visual that you can aspire to. The brain works in visuals, and you can bring that in and pull it together. That's my suggestion.
All right. Wow. Well, we got a lot of good ideas. Dia Job said, can love me be used for strangers? Always felt it was for those already in relationships. Yes, it could be used for strangers. And I myself prefer to use it for someone I already know. That's me. There's no rule about it. Come to me is another one. People say, well, you already have to know the person. Well, that's okay. That's a good one. And marriage, you can do marriage out of a clear blue sky. You can meet that person and agree to marry within less than 24 hours. I've done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, but Look Me Over is a good one if you're in a dating situation. And certainly Bewitching also if you're really going to go out and meet somebody. All right. So I think we've loaded you up with ideas, and I wish you all the best, Natalie.
Yes, you have, and I have everything everyone has mentioned, so I'm good to go.
All right. Good luck to you. Sweetheart. Check in with us later and see how it's going. All right. Well, y'all listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, in case you think you tuned into something else by mistake. We're going to see what's up next.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ollie, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Thank you, Natalie. Nagashiba for that wonderful announcement. And now it's time to go to our freestyle segment with Miss Elvira from Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. Take it away, Miss Elvira.
Okay, so this is a really exciting one. What you do is, this is for when you have an emergency, you've gotten a trauma situation. You're going to get 3 acorns, and you're going to get 3 acorns and 3 chestnuts and 1 bloodstone, and you're going to put them in a ring around a red candle with the petition for the healing work that you want done for the trauma that has occurred. And you will also make a milagro. You will make a representation of the particular area, or you can just use a picture of the individual. Or if you want to even get a little further, you can do a poppet. But you'll put that right next to the candle, and then you will ring the whole thing with magnetic sand, and you will light the candle and let it burn. When it is complete, you will take the chestnuts, the bloodstone, the magnetic sand, and put it in a bowl. If you are near where the person is, or if you are available to go to their location, you will take it and put it in their hospital room. And as the chestnuts begin to fall apart, you'll take them out, because what they're doing is taking the energy of the individual at his needing healing. Or you can again do that near a picture of the individual or a puppet, so that the energy is being put in healing to those areas, and the chestnuts are taking it, and they will break apart, and you will throw them away.
Wait a minute. So hold on the chestnuts here. Are we talking about fresh chestnuts?
You would either get fresh chestnuts. Depends on whether people can find fresh chestnuts, but dry chestnuts can do just as well. The fresh ones are actually longer lasting because they draw the energy more, but it depends on if you have availability for that.
Okay, what if it's not? I'm going to be real specific here because I know, honey, they always ask these questions. But Miss Elvira, it's not chestnut season. Can I use canned chestnuts?
Under the circumstances, I would probably say no. You would have to go ahead and find acorns again and use them instead, or you would have to get it's the actual fresh nut or the dried nut, but canned ones that are liquidy, it's not going to be the same thing.
You mean I can't use my Rome Classe?
No.
I have a question.
Sure.
I love cat client question voice, by the way. I just want to say, I had to mute myself as it chuckled. So the chestnuts are acting as a sort of receptacle that absorbs
yes.
bad, right? So kind of like an egg almost, that it's taking
yes.
out the bad. And then you replenish those. When they fall apart, you put in new ones. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Very cool. Interesting.
All right. So the chestnuts are being used a la eggs, the way they're used in egg cleaning. They remove
exactly.
the negative.
And
I just have to say here, I owe that voice to Professor Porterfield and Doodles Weaver. So Papa G is now saying, could you use peanut butter? No, Papa G, no peanut butter. So now let's talk about this spell for just another minute or so, because there's something here that I find very interesting. The idea of a proxy is what we're using to clarify this. For those who are new to this kind of work, the candle is the proxy of the person, and or the milagro is the proxy of the person. And so what is being done is the proxy is being cleansed, in the sense that, and Ali nailed it when he said like an egg, the proxy is being cleansed by use of acorns or chestnuts. Now, you could, and I'm going to go a step farther. Yeah, what if you have no acorns and no chestnuts? Yeah, you probably could use eggs. And would that be correct, Elvira?
Yes, you can. Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Definitely. So the idea is we're having some sort of an enshelled living thing, acorn, chestnut, egg, that absorbs the negative energy from the wounded or traumatized part. Does that make sense to everybody now? So you understand what you're doing there. Okay, that is called a proxy healing, and you're basically healing that. Now, if you can't take the material to the hospital, maybe the person is somebody you know through Facebook or whatever. What would you do? Keep it on your altar? Is that what you would do with
it? I would keep it on my altar, my healing altar, or the main altar I work with, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then when you were done with it, what would you do? Take it out into nature, bury it? How would you ritually dispose of it?
When it's finalized, well, as the items go into, you know, a certain level, I would definitely take it to nature. I'm really one to kind of get it back into the circle of things. And when the whole process is over, I would do the same thing. I would take, you know, the puppet, the picture I'd burn. You know, I would dispose of all of these things back to nature. And I tend to like to go to trees and, you know, like larger things that have a bigger life energy force, and I would like to put it at the base of it, so I, you know, I bury it there so that it is returned not just to the earth but to spirit.
Yeah, all right. That makes a lot of sense to me. You know, one of the things that are done with milagros is kind of interesting. Speaking of the little tin milagros, people will, used to, back in the old days, they would turn them back in and they'd remelt them down and make new milagros out of them. I always think that's fun. You know, a photo, a picture, those things that you have worked on in a sacred way remain sacred. And you
right.
should not just loosely dispose of them. Well, I like this spell a lot. It's very beautiful way to work. And you can know that, Elvira, you work in a what you call a Celtic, and with a K, tradition, by which you mean the real Celts. I'm not talking about the little Irish girls with their hair hennaed red. The Celts from Valcamonica, you know, the old Celts. So that is a very Celtic way of working. In the book Trolldom, by Johannes Gardbach, there are some other interesting similar spells that use trees and nuts and things for healing and for magic. It's a very remnant, very old European way of working. I love that way.
Yes, Kat,
all
I
right.
need to give a shout-out for the Mystic Fair, October 17th and 18th here in Santa Rosa at the Veterans Center.
Okay, say that one more time.
I have to shout out for the Mystic Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, October 17th and 18th here in Santa Rosa, the Santa Rosa Vet Center. Free 2 days. I will be doing readings there. You will have a booth there. It's come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we've got a lot of neat people and products.
That's right. October 17th and 18th at the Veterans Center in Santa Rosa. Everyone knows where that is. All right. I mean, if they're in Santa Rosa, they know where that is. If you don't, go Google it. All right. Let's turn this over to our dear Papa Newt and let him take us out.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Countryman Ali, and thank you, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers will be Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, bringing us the topic of dowsing and doodle bugging. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Contraman Ali at contramanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa New, joining you from papanew.com in St. Edward, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. From all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night,
record
Papa
time
Newton.
There.
Thank you so much for substituting for Miss Tammy Lee. All right. Thank you so much, Elvira, for being our guest. And it's always
thank
nice
you
to
for
have
me
you.
Beyond.
All right, Ann. Good night, Countryman Ali, my friend.
Good night. It was lovely.
All right. And thanks to everyone in the chat room. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.